AfterBuzz, the first of the new year. AfterBuzz, the AfterBuzz. First of 26.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of the AfterBuzz podcast and another year of the AfterBuzz podcast. With me, of course, the man of the hour, Buzz Adams.
Hello.
And joining us, the wonderful, the amazing, the best of the best of the best, Joanna Barba.
Wow. Thank you.
Hello.
For that beautiful introduction.
Happy New Year, Joanna.
Happy New Year, guys. I missed you. Did you miss me?
Very much.
Liars.
I sent you a New Year's text.
You did. You're one of the first people to send me a Happy New Year text.
There you go.
Somebody sent me a text that had a bunch of confetti coming out.
That was me.
But they didn't take it off. Now, anytime I open a text from this person, confetti.
It's, you know, when you put in Happy New Year's and it like.
Oh, and it does like the. Phew, yeah. Is it annoying you?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to read the text. These things are going off like a gender reveal.
Before we get into our topic for today, we were talking about a burger place from your hometown in Oklahoma.
Are you looking up Coleman's?
Well, I already looked it up, but then right underneath in the people also asked, what is Okmulgee, Oklahoma famous for? And then it goes, well, it's famous for its invitational rodeo and festival.
That's, I don't know which rodeo. There's a big
it's
native rodeo.
It's the Okmulgee Roy LeBlanc Invitational Rodeo and Festival.
That's the African-American
rodeo. Nation's oldest African-American rodeo.
And I went to school. I was in the same class, the same year as Andre LeBlanc, who was the son of Mr. LeBlanc.
Famously also the cousin of Matt LeBlanc.
No, unrelated to Matt LeBlanc.
Really?
Yeah, I'm afraid not. That would have been cool, but... Andre's dad was a world-famous rodeo cowboy, like a legit, full-on famous rodeo cowboy.
And
back in the days when that stuff was segregated.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought Oklahoma was famously not too nice to African-Americans.
I'll tell you, there are certain towns that are majority African-American, like African-Americans after Civil War, and when they opened up, you know, the land rush was 18, whatever it was, 80s or 90s. I haven't seen Far and Away for a long time, so. But a lot of the African-Americans just said, you know what, we're going to have our own stores, we're going to have our own shops, our mayor's going to be African-American, and they're largely to that way still.
All right. We're going to get to today's topic, and it's going to be News Nugs, the first of the year.
Oh, you should have given me a heads up. I'd have had your theme ready.
I forget that I have one.
Nico's News. Yeah. Come on, it's not really news.
There we go.
All right, so first up, two letters were sent from the Pentagon to a Toronto-based sex toy store.
Okay. I want to hear how that happened.
Well, apparently the letters were received over the span of about a month over the summer. And according to a person, the online sexual wellness store shipped worldwide when the online sexual wellness store shipped sex toys to a U.S. naval base in Bahrain.
Oh, my God.
Bahrain is in the Middle East, I believe.
Yeah.
And I guess
they might
they're
take
not
a dim
cool
view of
with
sex
toys.
Toys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So the store has been asked not once, but twice to refrain
Please
from sending.
Because
I guess the person
refrain
missed.
Refrain in Bahrain.
I guess the person the missed, the, like, didn't get their first shipment because of policy.
So they ordered again?
So they ordered again.
Oh, my God.
They're not going to. Was it a U.S. service member?
It was on the base, so I assume.
So.
One of the managers for the store says that they frequently ship to military bases across the world. So it's not unusual.
They're like, we didn't see anything bad with it.
But I guess it's causing some
diplomatic
turmoil.
I don't see any problem with it either.
Diplomatically,
yeah,
I think
well,
it's causing
the fact
some,
that it's Bahrain.
It's Bahrain. They're making it rain dildos.
Just tell them it's a shoulder massager.
Who knows if that was the type it was. Did you see that gigantic machine?
Well, you guys were looking at something earlier.
It got forwarded to me by Nico.
Espresso machine.
Okay.
It's from the Consumer Electronics Show, which started today.
This week,
today.
Right.
So it's all the newest gadgets and tech.
All the robots.
One of them was a sex toy for men. It's the second version of it. And it's this gigantic industrial...
like a pneumatic
machine. That's attached to a fleshlight. I was reading the article about it. It says that the newer Pro model has an updated battery life for 5 hours, which is necessary.
Well, you're supposed to consult a physician after 2 hours. So.
Which apparently is necessary because when you put it into turbo mode, sucks up the energy.
It sucks up the energy.
Yeah,
yeah, it does.
Among other things.
And the person that was holding it said that in the demo, it was like violently shaking and vibrating while it was in turbo mode. And then apparently you can also use it to charge other devices.
You're going at it and you're all like, turbo mode.
Turbo mode. He said that it had bone-breaking strength. He was like, I don't know if I would try this. It seems like it's too powerful.
Somebody spent their entire life coming up with
that. Oh, $500 too.
You got to have the price tag on something like that.
Yep. All right, next up. Pizza deliveries near the Pentagon. What do you know? Discuss.
probably not a lot of orders from Comet Ping Pong.
That was a Pizzagate
reference.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
So this isn't the first time that people have taken notice of pizza deliveries near the Pentagon in Washington. And the reason is because multiple times since 9/11 and the Gulf War, they have noticed a large spike in pizza delivery orders right before any military action that has taken place.
Up, a pizza predictor?
It is actually called the Pentagon Pizza Meter. And you can find it at the website called thetakeout.com.
Pentagon Pizza Meter.
Up.
Pentagon
Pizza
Meter.
Say that five
thing.
Times fast.
Pentagon Pizza Meter. Pentagon
Pizza Meter. Pentagon Pizza Meter. Pentagon Pizza Meter. Pentagon Pizza Meter.
You're saying it slow.
Pentagon Pizza
Say
Meter.
Say it fast.
I can't.
Pentagon Pizza Meter.
Pentagon Pizza Meter.
Pentagon Pizza Meter.
So in August of 1990, a well-established Domino's franchise in Washington noticed a sudden surge in deliveries to CIA buildings, all on the eve of Iraq's invasion of Kuwait, which kicked off the Gulf War. The same thing happened in December of 1998 during the impeachment hearings of former President Bill Clinton.
Why would there have been more activity at the Pentagon over a presidential impeachment proceeding?
I have no idea. But they noticed the pizza surge this past weekend.
We should have checked the Pentagon pizza meter.
The pizza meter. Actually, they're all saying if you were paying attention to the pizza meter.
Oh, maybe that's how that guy made $400,000 on Polymarket.
You know what? That's not the worst explanation. That's not
maybe
the worst
Maybe he just
explanation.
Knew to be looking at the Domino's orders in the neighborhood.
This is it.
With less than an hour. Okay, so.
Although I read somewhere, I could have sworn, there's a full-on food court at the Pentagon.
Yeah, I've read that too.
Nobody has to leave the Pentagon to get food. I mean, maybe if you don't like the pizza they have there.
There's a Twitter.
I bet they have a Sbarro.
There's a Twitter account called Pentagon Pizza Report. If you ever need to.
Nice.
If you ever need to check
Pentagon Pizza
stuff.
Report. Pentagon Pizza Report.
Pentagon Pizza Report.
Pentagon Pizza Report.
Pentagon Pizza Report. That's easier.
This is what I pay the internet for.
All right. Let's go into our next story. We've talked about it before. It's the mysterious Voynich manuscript.
Oh, yeah. This is a crazy thing.
We talk about it all the time on this podcast.
I think we've brought it up once.
No, we've brought it up at least 3 times.
Do you know what it is, Joanna?
No.
It's old, so they agree on that. Middle Ages.
It's old.
And it has really pictures old of plants and animals that do not exist. And it's also written in a language no one has been able to translate.
I'll show you a quick picture. Yeah. So it really is old, Joanna. They've dated it to the 1300s, 1400s.
Like from Name of the Rose days.
All the letters and all the writing inside? Uh-huh. Doesn't make any sense to anybody.
What if it was just someone who was just scribbling?
That's one of the theories.
That is
it
one
was
of the
maybe
theories.
A mentally disturbed person who
I
had some kind of
various notebooks. That's just me scribbles.
It seems like, though, he's a pretty, you know, for the time, he's a pretty good artist. He writes like how
also,
you would see
all those plants and stuff, like in the drawing. Those are all plants.
They're not
and flowers.
Just random scribbles at all.
No.
Apparently, these plants don't exist. Like, there's been...
They existed in their mind, probably.
Scientists have looked at them and been like, these aren't real plants. So, real. But that begs the question, who the fuck wrote this? And why?
Well, you
and
know who
what
was
wrong with him?
You
what?
Know who was putting pictures in books were people who would, scribes, who would write translations of the Bible before they had a printing press. You had to write it out by hand.
Right, right.
And they would have pictures of angels. And I got to tell you, my position is angels don't exist, so.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, people in cryptography and in code breaking, they've used a unique cipher that uses playing cards and dice to turn languages into symbols to produce a text that's pretty similar to the ones they found in the Voynich manuscript. The findings suggest that maybe another cipher that's just a little bit off could have been used to create it, and that's what you would need to decipher it.
Oh, that there's something, you don't have the other part of it that makes it make sense.
Right.
Okay.
That they might just need,
oh, okay.
But that they have something so close to it that they're just an inch away from maybe understanding.
There's people that are like living their lives trying to decipher
oh,
what this means.
That's all their job
for,
is.
For people who are really into.
And it's going to be just like, it was just somebody scribbling.
Turned out it was a grocery list. That would be the
by
latest
a really
thing.
Dumb guy.
Yeah.
We shouldn't joke. Maybe it's something serious.
Yeah, that is true. All right, another story. A thief has returned some stolen items after going viral.
To the Louvre?
No, not the Louvre.
Here's your jewels.
Last Friday, Lark Street Music announced that two mandolins were recovered after a suspected thief returned them with an apology note.
I know what the note said, too.
Did you read this?
I saw the story.
All right. What did the note say?
What did the note say?
Sorry. This word for word, okay?
Okay.
Sorry, I've been drunk.
That is word for word. It was four letters.
Respect.
Four words.
Four words. Respect. Excuse me. Four words. Sorry, I've been drunk. After an alleged thief returned a pair of pricey mandolins to a New Jersey musical instrument shop.
They're harder to play. You look at a mandolin, you're thinking, well, it's like a tiny little
guitar.
No, they're difficult to get a good sound out of. People who could do it are really talented.
Security camera footage showed a bespectacled man in a cap seen slipping some mandolins into a large parka before exiting the store. Joanna, this is the guy.
All right.
This is the guy. I can imagine. I can imagine this guy being like, "Yeah, sorry, I've been drunk.
I've been drunk."
I wonder if this
the era of my way. If
that's my default excuse for everything.
I've been drunk.
If you get caught or not get caught, but if you return it, is it like
I think
case
he
closed?
I think he might have returned it when he didn't turn it over to somebody. I think I got from the story that he returned it
to the store, but didn't stay there.
But didn't stay at the store.
Yeah. I'm just wondering: do the charges get dismissed, or do you still have charges of no? You stole some shit.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. This one is going to kind of freak you out. But on Monday, a group of Peruvian shamans have gathered on a hill in Lima, Peru,
very close to the Nazca lines, I believe.
Yes. They were all dressed in Andean ponchos and headdresses to perform their annual ritual of forecasting the future.
Ooh. Now
they can do
is
that?
The news I want.
Imagine having like Shaman Fest 2026.
It sounds like Bernie Man.
Yeah.
It sounds like SantaCon.
Do you want to know what? Okay, this didn't happen just this Monday. This happened last Monday.
Of course.
Okay, so this is a week old.
Okay.
Before the new year, yeah.
Do you want to know one of the things that they predicted?
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife will be abducted by the U.S. government and forced to wear tracksuits.
That is absolutely true.
Yeah, but how much detail did they go into?
Well, they predicted political change in Venezuela, saying Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro would be in exile. That's close.
That's pretty damn close.
Yeah, but, I mean, it wasn't really a... you know, out of left field or anything. You know, Trump had been posturing against Venezuela for better part of 2 months now.
They're like, and according to the way the smoke blows, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
They also warned that the war between...
An American team will win the Super Bowl this year.
They also warned that the war between Ukraine and Russia would still continue far into 2026, and that earthquakes would happen this year. Lots of earthquakes.
Hey, there's going to be... You know what? It's going to rain, too.
The group has a mixed record, having correctly predicted former Peruvian President Alberto Fujimori's death within 12 months. But organizers acknowledged last year's nuclear war warning had not come to pass. do you want to know how they foretell the future? Do you want to know what the ritual is?
It's involve killing an animal.
It actually doesn't.
Does it involve drinking a lot of alcohol?
It actually doesn't.
Damn it!
They place ritual objects, including blankets with yellow flowers, cocoa leaves, swords, and ancestral instruments, all while performing music and dancing around it.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time.
You can't tell me there's no alcohol involved in that.
And last but not least.
One final news nug.
This is another heist story from Costco.
Ooh.
On December 12th, a truckload of 40,000 pounds of lobster meat vanished after leaving a shipping facility en route to Costco warehouses in Illinois.
Quick, somebody guard all the butter delivery trucks.
Follow that butter delivery truck. I just saw this headline a little while ago, but I didn't read the whole article, so please tell me more.
Homeland Security investigations launched Operation Boiling Point.
I want to be the person that
gets
comes
the
up.
Name. Yeah. Right.
And then?
Operation Boiling Point is trying to find these lobster nappers, right?
So they say that the loss follows other recent incidents at the exact same the trucking place, including 9 truckloads stolen within 5 days earlier.
Okay,
this month.
Somebody, they got
and an a crab load taken.
They got an inside guy.
Sounds like
I know this from watching every mafia movie ever.
There's always an inside guy.
Something's always falling off the back of a truck.
Okay, do you want to know how much 40,000 lobster or pounds of lobster are
pounds?
Worth? Yeah,
I don't know. What would a lobster like when she cracked all the meat out of it?
Well, that's not how they sell them to you. They sell them to you with the poundage of the shell on.
Oh, the shell's still on. Yeah. So it was just lobsters? So a truckload of lobsters.
Yeah. 40,000 pounds worth of lobsters.
$40,000.
I don't even. No, I couldn't even guess.
Oh, 40,000 pounds.
Yeah.
And how much would it be?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess that's going to be like over 1,000 lobsters?
Yeah. About
damn,
2000.
That's a lot of lobster.
It was about $500,000 worth of
shut up.
Worth of sweet juicy meat. Also, they're saying that with the other crab incident where the crab load was taken and the other trucks being taken, they have cost $15 billion worth of damage.
What?
Yeah.
You just said it was five. What did you say it was? Five.
But there was another one. Another heist.
Wait. But you're not getting into the billions
based
on those numbers.
Oh, no, you know what? This is theft around the country.
Oh.
Whoops, my bad. I read that statistic
okay,
wrong.
It said the truckload of lobster does not get into the billions of dollars.
Theft around the country has cost our economy about $15 billion.
Okay, that I can believe. Okay. But not this one
truck,
right?
No, not this one truck. Okay. All right, thank you for checking in with us. Stick around for the rest of the year for more of the After Buzz podcast. And don't forget to listen to the regular Buzz Times Morning Show Monday through Fridays, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on KLAQ 95.5 El Paso's Best Rock. Talk to you all next time.